Dave Krabill, Vice President of IHAMP Michigan. We are at a drying facility. This is one half of 1 acre, one variety of hemp that we have drying. It's called Young Sim 10, Youngsim 10. So there's a lot of different varieties that were grown in Michigan this year.
So tell me what it was like finally being able to grow hemp in Michigan legally.
You know, it's exciting. You know, the opportunities are out there. So as an association, IHAMP Michigan is working with farmers, processors, and manufacturers and connecting them to each other and to the opportunities as they develop. And this is a research year, you know, thanks to some legislation that passed in 2014 that set the stage for the recent research program that MDARD initiated.
The Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, right?
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah, I'm sorry. So with the passing of the 2018 Farm Bill, the USDA made industrial hemp a legal commodity. And industrial hemp is cannabis sativa, but with 0.3% THC or less. Anything over 0.3% is considered marijuana. So industrial hemp has a lot of uses, you know, both medicinal and industrial.
Let's talk about the market for it, because we haven't been able to grow it for a long time. You know, we used to make all kinds of textiles with it. What kind of market is there today for hemp?
The most farmers growing this year, and there were 572 farmers that pulled grower permits, and they identified 32,614 acres to grow this year. Most are growing for the cannabidiol, CBD oil. And so that's where you process that oil out of the flower, and that's the highest value crop, but it's also extremely labor intensive, the whole process.
Is anybody going to be selling this to make ropes or fabric or something like that?
It eventually, you know, that processing for the fiber is something that's going to be set up. There was a company, Sunstrand, that down in Kentucky that, from what I understand, they're no longer in business. They were setting up farmers to grow and harvest the fiber, and for some reason they weren't able to make it. So we're looking at another use for the fiber as an injection molded plastics. We have a company in Grand Rapids who's developed a milling process to turn that herd, the inner core of the stalk, and dry enough, small enough, and, you know, to be used in injection molded plastics, and they can go up to 30% hemp in plastics.
There are a lot of concerns about CBD. You know, we don't have a lot of regulation on it, a lot of unknown properties. Sometimes it's oversold for its ability to do things. How profitable do you think that will be after it all starts to settle into some kind of regulatory scheme?
You know, this is, we're all learning as we go, and this is a plant that hasn't been available to us for over 80 years. Since World War II, we haven't been able to grow it in Michigan. So this is an opportunity to do that research and to understand the plant more. So we'll see how it develops. We do need a little more regulation, you know, for quality control and such. But I see that coming from within the industry, and that's where we want to see that develop. But next year, you're going to see a lot of farmers going also for CBN and CBG, which have specific medicinal values that have been identified. You know, Epidiolex was a drug fast-tracked to treat seizures for epilepsy. So we're going to see a lot of research come out and a lot more information and medical research being done on this product.
Until Big Pharma steps in, right?
That's a big concern, you know, certainly with the farmers. If they come up with a synthetic cannabidiol or cannabinoid, and it becomes a thing, we'd like to keep it in the farms.
Take me through the process of planting this, growing this, and now we're standing in a big warehouse where you're drying it. Let's go from the day you go out to plant to the day you harvest and start drying.
Sure. There's you can start with seed or seedlings. We started with seedlings. There's also clones, which I'm seriously looking at for next year, because when you start with seeds or seedlings with a non-feminized plant, there's a male and female plant in the species, and those male plants will pollinate and germinate your and create seeds, which lower your production of the CBD. So you know, it's plant it, care for it, give it the proper nutrients. There's a fair amount of pruning and trimming that needs to be done throughout the season to optimize that flower. And then it's a manual process. There is some equipment coming online now to mechanically harvest, and this is where the innovation, and we see Michigan with its manufacturing base and rich agricultural history, that you know, we're poised to be a leader in this industry.
And from there, when you're harvesting it, like you said earlier, you deal with the flowers and the CBD oil. Now you've got this stuff here that you're drying. What's next for it?
Well, that's the bucking. So we got to manually remove the flower from the stems and stalk. And so there's equipment available out there. We have this, you'll see here, this little device we set up to do it manually.
Well, let's do that. Show me that.
Yeah. So where's, so we just take a stalk, and we have this tool we've developed, and you just pull it through, and it captures all the flower in a bin. And
well, that's pretty simple and efficient.
Separates it from the stalk, but yeah. It's now multiply that by about 30,000 strokes, and you can see where it's very manual.
It's going to be a workout.
That's for 1 acre, you know. So there's a service. One of the iHemp Michigan members, BC Hemp, they're in Southwest Michigan. They have a mobile service. They're going to come right to me, and for under $3 a pound, you know, they'll do all this work for me. You know, so we're looking forward to that. You know, this innovation is what we need to take out some of the expense of the labor.
Like you said, you've got a lot of crop here that would take forever. So, how did they come up with the equipment? How did they come up with the idea that this would be needed?
Well, Oregon and Colorado, Washington State and Kentucky, they've been growing hemp, well, and even in Canada for a few years. So other states have been doing this and sorting out these problems. So it's just a matter of getting those services here in Michigan and perhaps taking it to the next level.
As you said, this is a pilot year. How do you assess what you've seen so far between the growers and the folks who want to process the CBD oil?
The processors are just coming online. You think of any type of startup business, there's all of this permitting process and, you know, to get the, you know, to build out, you know, a system. And it's very capital intensive to set up the processing. But we have an additional issue with the industrial hemp industry is what I like to refer to as reefer madness. So anytime we try and go to do something, there's always a little bit of pushback, you know, because they equate us with the marijuana industry. So that's part of our job as an association, is to educate people about industrial hemp, how it's great for the economy and the ecology, and why they should really embrace this plant.
What do you say good for the ecology?
This, you know, like I was saying, if we can offset 30% of the oil-based plastics with hemp-based plastics, that's going to be a great benefit to our ecology. You know, there's a lot of uses. Every part of this plant has a use. Even if we grow just for grain, which is the seed, and create that oil not only is great, you know, as a food supplement, but it's also has industrial applications. You know, that hemp oil, you know, I don't know if you saw that, you know, Henry Ford made a car, you know, and he ran it on hemp biofuel. And these hemp oils would be great lubricants, and they're not going to be harmful to our environment. Right now in Detroit, we have I don't know how many 50-gallon drums of toxic chemicals that they've used as lubricants, you know, in our manufacturing base. If we can offset some of that, it's going to be a boon to our ecology. I want to show you in the back where we have, there's smokable flour, and that's the highest value crop.
Let's go do that.
Okay.
You're in a nondescript building.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sign.
Yeah, and we don't want the location disclosed at all. You know, so it,
why?
Well, theft. There's been a lot of theft. Farmers have been, you know, have lost a lot of crop. I have a friend out west. They stole or damaged 400 plants off her field. You know, it's, you know, there is some value to it, but mostly it's out of ignorance. So
they think they're getting marijuana.
Right. Yeah. And you can really, by looking, you can't tell the difference. A lot of this has gone to seed, but in our other facility, we have some nicer flower, and we actually are hiring people to trim this bud, and it'll be sold as smokable flower. See all these little leaves in here? Mm-hmm. All these should be removed, and then you're left just with the bud.
That's a lot of work there.
It costs about $150 a pound to do that labor. Yeah, the market value of some nice smokable CBD flower is about $300 per pound. You know, so you, not only do you have your expense of growing it, you have your expense of trimming it and processing it to be sold, and then the smoke shops and dispensaries and places like that, or we can even sell it online.
So this is still, though, not high in THC. There's not going to be any psycho effects of this. It's just for the CBD oil. Is that what we're talking about?
That's correct. It's not an intoxicant, but you know, I want to point out that it when you say not psychoactive effects, it actually, you know, and this is where we kind of get into the weeds with making claims, right? So what people have experienced is reduced anxiety, reduced pain, and yet a clear head, you know, by smoking this flower. And it's helped people stop smoking cigarettes by smoking CBD hemp, you know, instead of cigarettes, which is certainly a good thing. So there's, people have experienced some benefits from smoking the CBD flower, and we're working, you know, like on our other facility, it's a lot more controlled, and it's we're maintaining the terpenes within, you know, the smell, you know, which some people hate, you know, the smell of marijuana, you know, but some people seek that out. So this hemp flower will have a nice odor.
Yeah, I know some brewers are even using hemp in beer.
Right, yeah, and this would be a great way to use that, you know, without having that THC.
Is this, you know, it's a pilot year, as you say. Is it going to be a profitable year?
Yes, that's my plan. It's been interesting, you know, to see, you know, based on projections and then seeing the reality of all the labor involved. You know, it's a learning year, so we're going to be way profitable by the amount of knowledge we learned, and I think we will come out, you know, we'll net some profits from our crop, but it's more about learning this year, you know, and doing it smarter next year. That's been our slogan all year, is we're going to be smarter next year. You know, so our plan is we're organizing, and we're spending most of my time spent right now is organizing Midwest iHemp Expo. We've rented the Lansing Center January 10th and 11th, and we're holding a trade expo for the hemp industry, and we're bringing in experts, have breakout sessions, and we're going to have those resources for farmers available so they can get the right genetics to grow here in Michigan, the right equipment to plant and harvest, and the right contracts to get it processed and sold. Because there's markets out there for this product, this CBD oil and the flower, and there's people that want it right now. Now it's just a matter of connecting them with the Michigan farmers.